Exodus chapter 5 and 6 today. We'll go through them. They're kind of self-explanatory. So we'll go through Exodus 5 and 6 and just explain a few things. Moses and Aaron are sent by God to the Israelites to lead them from Egypt, where they are slaves, to the promised land, Canaan. Moses was chosen to do this, but he felt the people wouldn't believe him. He felt incapable. Then he gave God the excuse, he can't speak well. So God says, I'll have Aaron do the talking, your brother. I will speak to you, Moses. You'll relay my words to Aaron, and Aaron will speak to the people. We ended with chapter 4, verses 27 to 31, where it says, and the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. So he went and met him on the mountain of God and kissed him. So Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then he did the signs in the sight of the people. So the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked on their affliction, then they bowed their heads in worship. So they shared with the people what God was going to do, and they believed. But I'm not sure they really believed. We get into chapter 5. The next order of business is to go. Now he went to the people and elders, now to go before Pharaoh. So in chapter 5 we read, afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. So they came to Pharaoh and says, we have a message from Jehovah, the Lord God of Israel. He says, you need to let us go into the wilderness, or we're going to go and worship our Lord, hold a feast. And then verse 2, Pharaoh responds and said, well, who is the Lord, capital L-O-R-D? That's Yahweh. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. So Moses and Aaron go and tell him, you've got to let the children of Israel go. They're going to hold a feast to me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh says, well, who's the Lord, this God you're talking about? Why should I obey his voice, the God, to let Israel go? I don't know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. They had their own gods in Egypt. And he just thinks he's just another god, a god of Israel. You know, they had false gods. They were gods of nature, the sun, the moon, and all of that. Those were Egypt's gods. And he's saying, who's this god you're talking about? I'm not going to let Israel go. They're our slaves. They do our work. And Pharaoh said, so they said, verse 3, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. He says, you've got to let us go. He told us to go and worship and sacrifice, else we're going to suffer plague or death. And then verse 4, then the king of Egypt said to them, well, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor. He said, you're trying to get the people out of doing work. Why do you want to go 3 days in the wilderness and have a feast to your Lord? You're working. You're doing our work. You just want to get out of work. And you want these people to stop their work. And he says, get back to your labor. And Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are many now. And you make them rest from their labor? You want to make them rest? So the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no longer give the people straw to make brick as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. So he says, I'm just going to make them work harder. They seem to have idle time. They want to go out and have a feast to the Lord. See, straw was mixed with clay to make bricks stronger to hold together. So he says, we used to give you the straw. We're not going to give you the straw anymore. You're also going to have to go and pick your own straw. More work. Want you to give us the same amount, but we're going to give you more work. Seems that you're idle. You want to go out and worship your God. You seem to have time to do that. Then let the people do more work and just go get their own straw. And verse 8, and you shall lay on them the quota of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry out, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. He says, don't reduce their work. He told the bosses, don't reduce their work. They must have idle time, seeing they want to go and worship God. Give them more work and let more be laid on them, so that, verse 9, let more work be laid on them in that they may labor in it and then not regard the false words. If you give them more work, then they won't be listening to Moses and Aaron. They seem to have idle time listening to these guys. Just make them get their own straw. Do the same quota of bricks, and then they won't regard the words that Moses is saying. They won't start thinking about leaving here. Just give them more work. And you notice he says, they won't regard false words. They weren't false words. God says you got to let them go. So verse 10, the taskmasters of the people and their officers went out and spoke to the people, saying, thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Hey, bad news, guys, we're not going to give you straw anymore. Go get yourself straw where you can find it, and none of your work will be reduced. So you got to go get your own straw to make these bricks, but you still need to meet the same quota. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. So they're kind of looking for anything, just the stubble, the scraps, the old stuff, straw laying around. They had to go and gather all this stuff just to make these bricks. And so their time was really taken up now. A lot of work they had to do. And verse 13, and the taskmasters forced them to hurry. They got on them. They're really laying it on them now. They says, the taskmasters found them to hurry, saying, fulfill your work. Your daily quota as when there was straw. Hey, get to work. You still have to fulfill your quota. That was not a good time for Israel. And also, verse 14, the officers of the children of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, why have you not fulfilled your task in making brick, both yesterday and today as before? So these foremen, you know, were beaten, that were overseeing the work. The Israeli bosses, the foremen, were beaten, and they were asked, why aren't you giving us as many bricks as you did before? Well, they laid more work on them. It was impossible to do. So we see in verse 14, they were treated brutally. They were beaten. And how come you're not fulfilling your task yesterday and today? These people were treated like this just because they were God's people, just because they wanted to worship their God. And so the officers, the foremen of Israel, the officers of the children of Israel came and cried out to Pharaoh, saying, why are you dealing this way with your servants? Hey, we're doing your work. Why are you treating us like this so harsh and making us work so hard? That's unreasonable. They said, it's not our fault. We can't do it. There's no straw given to your servants. You're not providing the straw for the bricks. So there's no straw given to us. And they say to us, make brick. And indeed, your servants are beaten. But the fault is in your own people. Hey, it's your fault. You're not giving us the straw to do this. You're causing this. See, they didn't have a union at this time. They could treat these guys any way they want. They're saying, hey, we're not going to provide you what you need. You have to go find it yourself, but we still want the same amount of bricks. And these bosses were beaten. And so they said to Pharaoh, hey, why are you treating us that way? We're doing our job. It's just unreasonable. It takes too much time now. And why are you treating us so bad? Verse 17. But Pharaoh said, you are idle, idol. Therefore you say, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. He says, you people are idle. You don't want to work. It's your fault. You're idle. That's why you want to go out and sacrifice to your God. He says, therefore, go now and work. Hey, don't complain to me. Go and work. For no straw will be given to you. Yet you shall deliver the quota of bricks. You're not going to get any straw. You got to get it yourself. We want the same amount of bricks. And nothing will be given to you. So get to work. See, Pharaoh is not going to listen to Moses or Aaron or the leaders of Israel. He's not a believer. See, he believes in other gods. So he doesn't think that they have a God that's any different. And they're just being unreasonable. They just don't want to work. And so remember in chapter 5, verse 2, we read, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? Capital L-O-R-D, that I should go obey his voice. I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. He says, who's your God? See, he's not aware of the Creator. And you know, it's like today, unbelievers have no concept of God. You know, when you try to talk spiritual to them or tell me, well, you know, the Lord doesn't want me doing this or here's the way the Lord wants me to live. They don't understand that. They just want you to do whatever it takes. And this is the way he was. You know, who's the Lord? I don't know the Lord. I'm not going to listen to you. And verse 19, and the officers of the children of Israel saw that they were in trouble. Hey, they realized now, oh boy, we're in trouble. He doesn't understand. We can't do this. After it was said, you shall not reduce any bricks from your daily quota. This guy's unreasonable. The foreman says, we're in a bad position here. There's no way we can do this. You know what? Thank God he's on their side. They're not going to have to continue working at all. God's going to deliver them. Isn't that great? They'll be released from work. But, remember earlier they said they believed? They only see their present situation. They believed Moses and Aaron. They saw the signs. They said, we believe you. And yet already, they're looking at their dark circumstances and the labor they're doing, and they're getting discouraged because they got their eyes on the situation in themselves rather than the Lord. They could have been thinking all the time, God's going to get us out of here. That's no problem what they do. We're going to get out of here. God is on our side. He said he's going to get us out of here. And we saw the miracles. Verse 20. But you see, they're looking at their self now. They're doubting God now. So what do? Then as they came out from talking to Pharaoh, they met Moses and Aaron who stood there to meet them. So they come out of the meeting and they meet Moses and Aaron. And in verse 21, they said to them, let the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants to put a sword in their hand to kill us. Moses and Aaron, it's your fault. They're just worshiping God because they knew they were going to be delivered. Now, dark circumstances, looks bad for their work situation. So they come out and say, it's your fault, Moses and Aaron. They don't say it's Pharaoh's fault. They say, it's your fault, Moses and Aaron, and may God judge you for doing this to us. It looks bad. He says, you've given them an excuse to kill us now, Pharaoh and his people. It looks bad. They doubted God would deliver them. And it's amazing how we as humans change when circumstances get tough. It's amazing how God can work through humans. We're so frail. You know, it's amazing how God can get these people out of Egypt back to the promised land with all this trouble. See, but the Messiah is going to come through the line of Israel. So he preserves Israel even to this day through all the trouble. It didn't look good for them. And they're blaming Moses and Aaron. It's your fault. Why? They're probably thinking, hey, I don't believe God really did send him. Because look at the situation we're in. You know, we don't doubt in the darkness what God gives us in the light. We don't doubt in the darkness what God gives us in the light. We hold on to His word and His promises. We don't start blaming other people for our circumstances. We don't start blaming God. We just have patience. So what does Moses do? Verse 22. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it that you have sent me? So now he's doubting God. The people blame him, and now he's going to go and blame God. He says, why? Why did you send me? Why, Lord? It's your fault. You know, you sent me to do this? And number one, you brought trouble on this people. All because I came here, you told me to go here and deliver them. Now you brought trouble on these people. And secondly, why did you send me? I didn't want to go. Why did you send me? You know, we can be right in the center of God's will and experience a lot of trouble and have difficult circumstances. Many times it doesn't look good. You think you're in the right spot. You think God has told you to do this. You're worshiping God. You're in a great fellowship with Him. And then all of a sudden, things can look bad. That's where a lot of people get bitter at God. Once it starts looking bad. How do you think it looked on Good Friday? Bad. It tells us all his disciples forsook him and fled. But what about Sunday? It looked good. You see, we can't go by the circumstances. A lot of times when God is really working in us and through us, it gets dark and horrible things will happen. Are we going to hold on to God and His word? Are we going to start blaming other people or the one who told us about this or God? Just like they're doing. The people are blaming Moses. Moses is challenging God now. We don't question God. We just trust Him. We don't ever doubt that He's in charge. He's always in charge of our life. Moses says, why did you bring me? Why did you bring trouble on these people? You know, many times God will use trouble to trouble the waters. Shake things up. You know, and then He shows His power. And He says in verse 23, He says, God, look at this. For since I came to Pharaoh, and you told me to go and I obeyed, and since I came to Pharaoh to speak your name, two things have happened, and they're both not good. He has done evil to this people, neither have you delivered your people at all. You sent me to deliver them, and God, none of that happened. As a matter of fact, they're worse off. Sometimes it gets worse when we're about God's business. Disease can hit, illness, loss of job, loss of something else, or things not going right, people turn against you. All kinds of things can happen when you're in the process of doing God's work. We don't look for blame. We don't doubt God. You know, He says, boy, since I obeyed you to speak your name, these people have been hurt more, and you haven't delivered them. What's going on? So, but the good news is, as we have patience, God will work. Remember earlier in Exodus when God told him that Pharaoh's heart would be hard? Remember, He told him before He even sent him, Pharaoh's heart is going to be hard. So why is he surprised? See, God said He's going to show His power. Now, He can't show His power until there's a miracle needed. And God's going to work miracles and deliver. But God said He's going to deliver the people. And Moses is saying, well, you haven't delivered them yet. We need patience to allow God to work. And things may get better, but things may get worse before they get better. So chapter 6, then the Lord said to Moses, okay, Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. Moses, quiet. I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. He says, now it's time. You're going to see it. You're going to see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with my strong hand, he's going to let them go, and with a strong hand, he will drive them. He's going to actually drive you out of this land by my strong hand, not by Moses's. Now, in verse 2, and God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. YHWH. Jehovah God, as he earlier revealed himself to Moses, the great I am. He's talking about his power now, how God's going to use his power to deliver people. And so he says, I am the Lord, YHWH, the great I am, which he told Moses. In verse 3, he says, I appeared as God to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. We read that in the Bible. God appeared to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He says, I appeared to your forefathers, but I appeared to them as God Almighty, El Shaddai. Remember he told Abraham, I am Almighty God? That was El Shaddai. In other words, God was the covenant God and going to create something from Abraham. But now God is going to use his power, so now he's Yahweh, Jehovah, and his power will be demonstrated. So he says, I appear to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as God Almighty, El Shaddai, the covenant God, you know, to create a people. And if you turn to Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, chapter 17, verse 1, we see, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, what did he say he was? Who did he say he was? I am Almighty God, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. This is who I am. This is what you call me. And then in Genesis 35, if you turn to Genesis 35, it said the same thing to Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Genesis 35, verse 10. Then God appeared to Jacob when he came from Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel. And God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. That's El Shaddai again. So that's the way he was known. Now he's Yahweh, Jehovah, and he's Lord in a new way, the God of deliverance. He's the I am, everything we need. And so that's why God tells him that right here in verse 3. And he says in verse 4, I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage in which they were strangers. I promised you this land. I ratified the covenant with you where they once entered. You're going back there. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel when the Egyptians, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. I remember my covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You will be back there. That's your land. I heard. I have not forgotten. So God's encouraging them now not to lose heart. He says, nothing's wrong. It looks bad, but nothing's wrong. I'm still going to do what I'm going to do. Just because something turns sour in our life or bad doesn't mean God is not going to answer our prayer. It means he's still going to answer it. We're just going through something. Maybe testing our faith. So now in verse 6, he says, he's encouraging them now. And he says, therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. Go tell them who I am now. Yahweh, I'm going to be your deliverer with my power. And we get power from, he's going to do it with an outstretched arm, literally as with my mighty power. Now, he says, I'm going to do this for you. Now, notice in verses 6 to 8, the seven I wills. There are seven I wills in verses 6 to 8. Seven I wills he's going to do for his people. Verse 6. I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. In other words, he's going to bring them out from the burdens. I will bring you out from the burdens of the Egyptians. He gets us out. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are laboring and are heavy laden. He's going to deliver them from their burdens. Secondly, I will rescue you from their bondage. He's going to break the bonds that they're in the bondage of slavery. I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to save you. And then the third I will redeem you. He's going to buy them. He's bought this nation. I will redeem you. And how am I going to do it? With an outstretched arm and with great judgments. That term outstretched arm means mighty power. And that's how God said he'll do it. Now you notice this is all I will, not you, Moses, not the people. This is now God saying, hey, who's the one that said they're going to do this? Me, God. I'm going to do this. Don't look at your failures and what you're burdened under. I'm going to do this. And then in verse 7, we get the fourth I will. I will take you as my people. Isn't that wonderful? Where God takes us as his people. And today we're the children of God. Taking us out of bondage, redeemed us, takes us as his people. And he says, and I will be your God. That says it all. I'm just going to be your God. I'm going to be everything for you. You are mine, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. You're going to know who I am by this. And then in verse 8, we get the last two I wills. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Isn't that great? He brings us into the new land, a new life. And who will do it? He will. I will bring you into that new land, which I swore. And the last I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. That is our inheritance. That's where we end up. All these things he says here to them, this is what we get and where we end up. An eternal inheritance. He says, I will give you it, give this land to you as a heritage. And why will he do all of this? Because I am the Lord. And he says, I'm your God, and you're mine, and I will do this. See, and he says, he is the Lord, so I can do this. He can do it. Verse 9. So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel. So you think after Moses heard this and he goes speaks to the children, you think they're going to be excited and listen, right? So he spoke to the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moses. They didn't listen. They're still depressed and discouraged. Why? Because of anguish. Two reasons. The same reasons today. Why didn't they listen to the word of God? Why don't people listen to the word of God today? Even Christians, why don't they listen? Why don't we listen? Two things, because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. We get this, that word is dispirited. Our spirit gets grieved or anguished. They were so pressed down. They had anguish. They couldn't even listen to the word of God, to Moses speaking for God, giving these great promises, I wills. But they did not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit. They just were dispirited because of what was happening to them. And they weren't encouraged because of the cruel bondage. There were some horrible things happening to them. The circumstances were bad, were cruel, and they were pressed under these circumstances. You see, when we listen to the Lord, when we receive his word, and we have many promises in his word, when we receive his word, we are revived and empowered. And that's what God was doing. He said, you need some help right now. I'm going to give you seven I wills. Go encourage the people. But they didn't listen. Why? Because they're so pressed down. You can talk to people that are so depressed. You say, well, pray. Oh, I can't even pray. Well, they're in a bad place. That's where these people were. They can't even listen to God or go to God. They went by feelings and not faith. They just didn't believe God. Let's turn to Psalm 42, please. Psalm 42, verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? That's where they were. The answer, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Psalm 43, verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. What do you think God is trying to say to the depressed, to the discouraged, the dispirited? Hope in God. That's your only hope. See, the people were going to be this way. They had to see God work. If you don't have hope in God, you will have no hope at all. Our hope is in God. Circumstances are beyond our control. We have to hope in God. Some people say, well, if only this changes, or this works out, then I'll be better. No, your hope is in God, for you shall yet praise him. Back to our text, verse 10. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, go in, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the children of Israel go out of his land. Go back, tell Pharaoh the same thing. And Moses spoke before the Lord, saying, wait a minute. The children of Israel have not heeded me. They didn't listen to me. How then shall Pharaoh heed me, for I am of uncircumcised lips? My own people, your own people won't believe me. Why will Pharaoh? Why do you want me to go talk to Pharaoh? Did he forget that God said he's going to harden his heart so that he can then work miracles? He's going there for a reason. Pharaoh will harden his heart. Then God can work and perform miracles. That's part of God's plan. He gives him the same command. And then Moses says, well, I'm a man of uncircumcised lip. It's literally, I'm not a good speaker. You know that, God. I can't speak well. It didn't work the first time. And verse 13, then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, gave them a command. God doesn't give up, does he? He doesn't give up. The commands of God aren't going to change. We're not going to get around them. He says, he gave a command for the children of Israel and for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Sometimes we pout and we think we're going to be like little children, get our way with God. Nope. God will not give in. You can hold your breath till you die. He will not give in. And you learn that after a while. And then you go the easy way and just flow with God. But he will not give in. He gives them the same command. I know you've done it before. You've got to do it again. Go and talk to Pharaoh. But he's not going to listen. That's okay. Go talk to Pharaoh. You know, God is not, you're not going to force God. I'm not going to force God to do things my way or to forget it or to just give me some space. No, God's not going to let go. God spoke to Moses the same thing. Then verse 14. These are the heads of their fathers' houses, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel. And then we get in verse 15, the sons of Simeon. And then we get in 16, these are the names of the sons of Levi. We get the genealogy now in the rest of this chapter. And we get the genealogy here we see of Reuben. No, three of the sons of Israel, Reuben, Simeon, and Levi. They are the first three sons born to Israel, to Jacob. Reuben, Simeon, and Levi. It stops at Levi. Why? Because that's the priestly tribe. And in Scripture, they just cover the topic or the person that's involved. And this is all about Moses and Aaron, and they're from that priestly tribe of Levi. So he gives the first three sons, and okay, Levi, and then he goes on from Levi, and you can read it on your own. That's where Moses and Aaron came through. So they will be qualified to do the, and Aaron will the priestly duties. And so that's why he gives the genealogy of Levi. And when you go down to verse 20, you see now Amram took for himself Jochebed, his father's sister, his wife, and she bore him Aaron and Moses, and the years of the life of Amram were 137. So we see in verse 20 that Amram and Jochebed were Moses' parents, Moses and Aaron's parents. And verse, then we get down to verse 26. And these are the same Aaron and Moses, just to let you know, that genealogy, that's the same Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies. These are the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are the same Moses and Aaron. I just want you to know, people, these are the two guys. And it came to pass on the day the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spoke to Moses saying, I am the Lord. Speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say to you. That's what he was told to do continually. But Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips. I can't talk well. How shall Pharaoh heed me? And then we'll see when we pick it up in chapter 7. No excuses. God is not going to give up. He says, you're the man. You're going to do it. And he's going to do it. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for encouraging us. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless us. And help us to remember these words today. Lord, our hope is in you. No one or no thing, it's you. You are our hope. It doesn't matter how bright things look or how dark things look. Our hope is in you. You're the one that will take care of us and bring things to pass. Give us patience, hope. Use our lips to praise you, Lord, not to doubt. And we pray that we would be good and faithful servants. We know, Lord, that you'll never give in to us. We must give in to you. Help us to be yielded servants, servants of the Lord, ready to do your will. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord.